In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Seeking God's face. Seeking God's face. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verses 12 through 22. It's in our printed text today. As I stated earlier, it is a conclusion to the Chronicle study that we've been involved in this month with a main title of Acknowledging God. Acknowledging God. We are to seek God's face. The particular text as printed today, we talked about the covenants, and we said that, you know, covenants, some are all-inclusive, some of them are very specific. We're going to have to look at this scripture, I guess, dispensationally. That means administratively, because it is easy to get in conversations with spiritual airheads who, when you start talking about God's chosen people, have some agenda other than the building up of God's people. First, I got to give y'all a test. I'm sorry, Buzz. We got tests. We got right off the bat. If there is one anthropos in the room, man or woman, what is that called? Starts with a P. Oh, that wasn't rhetorical, guys. What is a man or woman called? A human or who said person? Person. That's the purpose. Person. But if there's more than one person in the room, that's called what?
People.
All right. Y'all just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And if you think that you're here because you've been so good, you've been so merciful, you've been so righteous, you are sadly mistaken. You are a chosen people. I understand the scriptures. I understand them well. As a matter of fact, too well sometimes. Because when you understand them too well, it shows you how much you fall short of what the scripture is really saying. But in the particular scripture today, we find that Solomon has dedicated the temple. He's prayed the dedicatory prayer. He prayed and prayed till the fire came down. Burn up the offering, and the people were compelled to worship. They were moved to honor the one and only triune God. They worshiped by praising him. They worship by bowing. They worship by giving. Oh, they had a hallelujah time. And all the people were shouting, and they were excited. And then they began to fellowship. They covered all the disciplines of a good Christian. And yet they're called the Jewish people. So they showed us how to worship. They showed us how to be done. Well, remember, Solomon prayed. And whenever you pray, know one thing, that God will answer. Okay? Now, Harmon prayed this morning. And did y'all hear the petition? Did y'all hear a petition? What was the petition? Yeah, okay, healing for the couple, traveling. Yeah. Now, how do you know it was answered? How do you know his prayer this morning was answered? Oh, is that right? Well, I tell you what, when you leave this class this morning, you go out and they tell somebody, Steve Harmon prayed, and that couple's prayer was answered. You don't know that. You don't know that. You got faith that he will answer, but the question was, did he answer? Right now. Did he answer? Nope. I can prove it. You know why? Because Solomon prayed 23 days ago. 23 days ago. And according to verse 12, that night, God came to him. Solomon, oh Solomon, your prayers have been heard, and they will be answered. No, don't worry about the answers. Don't get too holy deep. I just asked a simple question. See, because, folk, the whole idea here is that you got to wait. God doesn't operate in our time. God is not on a schedule with us. We can't say that. As a matter of fact, somebody over here, I think Phyllis was saying, it's already been answered. Sister, I drew a blank. Sister H said, hey, ask and it shall be given. I mean, that's a faith, but the issue, I'm talking about reality now. See, we're talking about the logical part of this thing called a relationship with God. Because that's what happens. The Holy Spirit comes and says, for all you math-minded folk, I'll show you a lesson. You want to talk about logos? You want to talk about mathematician? You want to talk about stats? You want to talk about correlation, regression, analysis? I am God. I am divine logos. And this is how it's done. And it's the simplest of things. You have a hypothesis. What is a hypothesis, Ford?
Theory, presumption.
Theory, consumption. But what are some of the elements? I mean, you can have a theory. I think your shirt is green. Okay. Now I gotta test that, right?
Yes, sir.
And so the test, you have what you call these if-then statements. You know, if such and such such, then it's almost like a cause and effect. You know, for you English grammarians, you know, rather than mathematicians, I still say they're one and the same. I don't think you can be a good English major and not be a mathematician. I don't think you can be a great mathematician and not be a great English major. Oh, hey guys, but I digress. I ain't going there. It's just me. English is a language, right? Because see, I saw some of you doubters. I saw it out the corner of this bad eye. I saw you. English is it's a language. So is mathematics. It's nothing but a language. It's simply taking signs, symbols, and content and converting it. So if you know you do well in one language, you should do well in another. Okay. All right. That ain't a sermon. But that's all right. Y'all gonna believe me. You may not believe me in this, but you don't believe me in that. We see some if-then statements right forward.
Yes, yes.
And so the if, so it says if sets up a hypothesis. And then it says you do this, it'll equal that. Then the conclusion. You'll have a hypothesis and then a conclusion. Okay? Now before y'all get a headache, don't worry about it.
I'm glad I got my coffee.
Oh, okay. All right. Because God is showing you that that's what life is all about. It's about if and then. Every relationship is about if and then. Every relationship is a covenant relationship, and it's about if and then. It means, simply means, that you have responsibilities in a relationship, and that it doesn't matter. These people done prayed, they done gave, They done shouted. They done bowed. And then verse 12. Didn't somebody stop and ask, wait a minute, God, where are you going with this? You saw all this worship? Why verse 12? And God says, I'm glad you asked. That's why I'm sending you down to Family Church School, and you can tell all your friends. I was there and got the answer. Family Church School, in verse 12, simply tells us that what? I heard your prayer, Solomon, and that's comforting to all of us. That just like God prayed, Solomon prayed, and God answered his prayer, when you pray, God will answer your prayer also. And you may not have this theophanic event. In other words, you may not have God come, you know, in some form other than the flesh or in the flesh itself and give you this answer. But God will speak to you and say, I've answered your prayer. Many times, God is talking to us, telling us that he's answered our prayer, and we're too busy still talking to listen, to hear it. But Solomon is there. At night, he's not distracted by anything. God comes and says, I heard your prayer. And he says, you know what? This temple, what did he say? This temple, what? I have chosen this place. That's the temple.
Right. Folks.
To what?
To myself.
As a house of sacrifice. I approve of what you're doing, Solomon. Your dedication prayer was great. I approve. I put my stamp on it. When the fire came down last week, that was his stamp of approval. Now he comes back and confirms it. Yes, this is my house. This house has been sanctified, set apart, this temple. So in this seeking God's face, we see that even a place, even the temple gets blessed. Y'all don't hear me. As a matter of fact, that thing that the old folk used to say, he'll bless your whole house and everything that's in it. They had dedicated it to him. He comes to Solomon, says, I've heard your prayer. And first of all, I bless this place. This shall be my house. This is something that my name is going to be on. It's pleasing to me. Now, notice there's a verse. We're looking at verses 12 through what, 22 today? That's the only verse that addresses blessing the temple. The next few verses address blessing the people. And there is this hypothesis, if you would. There is this cause and effect set up that God deals with his people. After all this praying and after all this shouting and after all this giving of money and sacrifice and building beautiful facilities, God says there's more to it than just coming out here on Sunday morning in your plush bourgeois temple, your place of worship. He says, because first of all, I'm not contained in here. He says, but you've dedicated to me and this temple. You best get that. He's talking about the temple that Solomon built. So when you start talking about this house and all that it is, and, you know, we freshly painted because, you know, we paint in honor to God. Yeah, God says that's real good. But there are some other things that are just as important. And he says, you know what? I'll bless the temple. For you dedicating the temple, I'll bless it. It's a good thing. I've honored my covenant with your father. You've done exactly what your father wished. And now your heavenly father comes and blesses and sanctifies and sets this place apart. Now, if God sets this place apart for something special with his name on it, that's tough, because you historians, y'all know already. But let's see. That's the blessing. He blessed the temple. He blessed the thing that they built for him. Verse 13 and 14 says what?
If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people.
Stop. Verse 13. God, what are you talking about? Man, we all in a happy mood. You know, we just went down, had our popcorn, signed up for ministry, you know, gave a few bucks during the first service. What are you talking about? Shutting up. Just because you come to a beautiful edifice and just because you bow down before God does not negate the fact that life still happens. There's some crazy stuff that can happen to you. You can be just as holier than thou. You can be going through all the motions, but stuff will happen to you. Natural stuff will happen to you. Supernatural stuff will happen to you. God says that the rain, the issues that are going to come about, notice he deals with the issues first. We normally don't see that in the Pythagorean theorem. He comes with this issue. How is it that when I shut up all the rain, if I don't let it rain forever, and if I cause all kinds of pestilence, what are you going to do about it? He says, if. Hypothesis statement. If. If my people. Y'all read it, because y'all love to read this one. If my what?
People, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
He talking to you? Oh, now the quiet. Everybody want to give money now, Steve. They would. Hey, don't want to look up, bud. They give him money. Hey, dang, like, I ain't hear Deacon Sneed then. This verse of scripture has been so misused. Because first of all, people take it out of context. Okay? They don't see verse 13. Okay? If my people, and he's talking to the Jewish people now, the people who just built the temple, the people who just got through worship, the people that are called by my name, if they would humble themselves, in other words, you can't ever get too haughty. You can't all go start bragging about what you've done and who you are. He's talking specifically to Israel now. I'll come and get y'all later. Because that's why y'all here. Y'all not here to hear about Israel. You're here to hear about you. But to deal with this dispensationally is the only way to deal with it. Is that this is specifically, it was for the temple because we don't build temples anymore. Agree or disagree? Oh, agree. Okay. We don't build temples. Then he says, the people that I've chosen, if you would humble yourself and do what?
And pray.
And what?
Seek my face.
In other words, the if statement says you got to do three things. What?
Pray.
Be humble.
Pray.
And what?
Seek
my face. And then turn from your wicked ways. What's going to happen when that happens? In that one verse, there is a conditional statement and then a conclusion. He says, if you do all the things that have been previously mentioned, then is the conclusion. Then is the effect. You got the cause up here, but here's the effect of that. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Forgive their sin and heal their land. Some will tell you God ain't in the reason why that this is not for you is that God is not in the business of healing your land, your possessions. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns everything. He is the steward. But specifically to the Jewish people, he says, if you do these things and turn from your wicked ways, admit that you are sin, that you've sinned, I'll heal the land. I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal the land. I will constantly be with you. Now, that's the dispensational part. You say, but what about us? Why can't we use that? We've been using that for years. Because first of all, you ain't built no temple. The temple is building you. Because the temple, the Holy Spirit indwells your temple. Y'all don't believe me, do you? No, I know they don't believe me. So you know what? When you don't believe me, you have to read. Over in the book of Acts, it's chapter 7. I think it is. And they laughing now. Those who have been in basic doctrine with me, Fred, they laughing. They said, he'll never get the numbers right. Go to chapter 7, verse 48, and see what you see. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And therefore, he sanctifies this temple. Okay? And Romans tells us over in chapter 12, y'all know what that says, don't you, right? Present your bodies, a living sacrifice, okay, holy, acceptable, so that the Holy Spirit can dwell therein. Somebody read 48 right quick, because they didn't believe me, Monica, Karen, Tracy, Brenda, Vanessa, they did not believe Deacon Snead. They thought he would come in here talking something he didn't know anything about. Because they know that my grandmama told me that if they would just turn from their wicked ways, that he would heal the land. That's for us. Not explicitly. Because it is in the New Testament that Jesus comes and picks up and says, because now, those chosen people, some believe that's the church. The chosen person is you, because Jesus declared before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain just for your salvation. This is where you get technical point, but I just want to show you that, because if you embrace one scripture, you're going to have to do them all. Okay? Because if there's a verse 15, there's also, I mean, verse 16, there's a verse 15. So if you do 14, you got to do 15 also. You got to hear the 15. Chapter 7, verse 48, what did it say, Terry? You got it? What did it say, sir?
I have the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands, as the prophet said.
Anybody got King James? Melba, would you please? God doesn't dwell in temples made by hands. He dwells in you. And so then you can say the blessing in accepting a relationship with Jesus Christ is that God comes and indwells in me. He blesses this temple. Y'all don't hear me. Not talking about the temple of old, because there's something it's very important to draw that distinction, folk, because of what's going to happen a little later here in this scripture. Your temple is being resided in by the Holy Spirit, and He requires the same thing of you as he did the children of Israel. But his speech is to, directly to, the children of Israel for the temple that they built, the physical temple that they built with their hands. Verse 15. Now, for whenever they would go into the temple, God would always be looking at that place. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it wonderful to know that God is looking wherever you are? Well, let me tell you something. You don't ever go nowhere without you. Oh, y'all better hear me. Y'all think this is cute. You don't ever go nowhere without you. The Holy Spirit is constantly looking at you. So if my people, you want to embrace that? If my people who are called by my name, where I dwell, they've got to do certain things. If the temple is going to be continually approved of. Y'all better catch this one. Because he says right here, mine eyes and my ears. In other words, God is seeing everything that they do in the temple. God is seeing everything you do in and out of the temple. And he's hearing everything you say. You know that cute little conversation that you thought was just between you and him the other day? God was right in on it. Because you're walking around with the temple. They could leave the temple. If God is just in the temple, when they left the temple, maybe he didn't hear them. We know better than that because he's what? Everywhere. Omnipresent. Oh, we better get this. So he says, I'm going to bless the temple. But in verses 13 through 16, he tells us, I'm going to bless the people also. In verse 16, look at it. What building do you know that is still there the way it was when it was built? ...8,000 BC... ...4,000 BC... ...3,000 BC. What building? Tell me. Which one? That verse right there is a very powerful one. Because what happens is, once God has indwelt your temple will never be destroyed. Y'all don't see that. Think about Solomon's temple. Where is it now? Keep listening. We'll get there. But think about where it is. But you were saved so that you would have eternal life. And that you would, that in that great getting up morning, that the body that went in the earth and the spirit that went back to God would be joined together in a glorified body, and that you would live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That there never would be a time when that temple body didn't exist. Y'all better help me. Because it sure helped me to understand this, is that God deals with people dispensationally, but he is no respecter of person. There's nothing special about the Jewish people as far as you and I are concerned. There's nothing special about us to the Jewish people, except God made us. and we are one of his. And he says, I will be there. I'll be there in that temple forever and ever and ever if you do this. Now, the issue here, God knows that you're going to make mistakes even before you did it. That's why this covenant be with you, because the people there, he knew idolatry was an issue. And the if statement was that if you would stay away from this, turn from your wicked ways is serving other gods, then I'll heal the land. I'll keep the temple. If you do this, it is the only way. It is conditional. Verse 17. Now that's the if for David. See, we had a blessing for the temple, a blessing for the people, and now we're going to see Solomon's blessing. Y'all better see this. Told you there's blessings in seeking God. He'll bless everything around you, on you, through you, by you. Verse 17 tells us he now talks to Solomon specifically. And that ain't for you. Your name not Solomon. And it certainly ain't King Solomon. He says, and as for thee. Now for you, Solomon, this is what he said. If you do this, walk as your daddy did, according to what I have commanded, my statutes and my judgments. That's three things Solomon's got to do. And I guarantee you he broke them all. My commandments, do obey what I tell you to do. My statutes, do what is written that you should do. My judgments, do what I've decided is best for you. Now, all you folk who say, the Lord's just going to bless me because I ask it, because I seek him. No. In Hebrews 11:6 is your seeking of God's faith. And how you seek him is exactly how it's done in verse 17. Anybody got 11:6? Anybody says, if Hebrews 11:6. We'll do a little reading this morning. Watch that watch. Yeah, watch that clock for me. Because I can't see it. I ain't anywhere. 11:6. Let's see. 11:6, say it.
But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
He is a blesser of those who diligently seek him. It's the same. You're required, but this is an individual thing now. When that temple is blessed, that's one building. When your temple is blessed, that's many buildings. Because you saved, temple is blessed. You saved, temple is blessed. You saved, temple is blessed. But God now talks to Solomon specifically and says, you obey these things, I'm going to keep my covenant with you. He's saying to you and I will reward those who have faith in me and who diligently seek me. You don't seek God by coming to church once in a blue moon, going to the rock three times, going to a resurrection one time, going to the rock one time, going to resurrection three times, never paying tithes, sometimes paying tithes, sometimes worshiping, sometimes praying, sometimes taking care of the sick, sometimes doing ministry, other times not doing ministry. That's not diligently seeking God. Diligently seeking God says, I trust God in everything I'm going to do. So I'm going to obey his commandments and his statutes and his judgment, because God knows better what my life is all about than I do. Are you going to trust the decisions of men or the decisions of God? God has decided your life. Y'all better hear me. Ah, what a great lesson. Seeking his face, seeking his face. But verse 18 says, Solomon, I still got a little bit more for you. This is what I'll do. Read it. First Samuel, God had already promised David, somebody from your line will be on the throne. And he's going to be there. He's going to reign forever and ever. And he's telling Solomon, I heard your daddy. I heard your prayers. And I make you this promise today. You keep my commandments. And I'll be faithful. Is that what God says? No. God is saying, I'll be faithful. You try to keep my commandments. Because we know David didn't keep, Solomon didn't keep the commandments. He had, 1,000 concubines then. They ain't keeping no commandments. So that tells us that God is faithful for us, even when we don't. But God had made a covenant with David. And he says, if you want the same desires as your father, you ought to live as your father. And I guess Solomon said, I did. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He blesses places. We saw him bless the temple. He blesses people. And he blesses individuals specifically. God is in the blessing business. There are some conditions, though, folks. You can't live any kind of way and expect God to continually bless you. Because remember, there's this cause and effect, Karen. In other words, you do something, there's some consequences. And let me tell you one thing. One of the issues with sin is that you don't lose your salvation because you sin. If you're saved, you're saved eternally. God's keep his covenant. That's what he says. But it doesn't mean that you won't sin. But when you sin, there will be consequences. Y'all don't believe me. Let me show you. Because the last few verses is going to show you what the consequences are. We've just been talking about the blessings. Everybody's excited. Now everybody now, see, they don't like these if statements. Because these if statements are negative. See, we like the positive statements. We think that God's going to bless everything we do. But let me tell you something, folks. God is in the blessing business. And he will bless you, but there will be consequences for the stuff that you do. If you don't teach your children to be selfless instead of selfish, they become antisocial. And just because you've changed, the consequences that they're going to grow up and they're going to be selfish. You haven't taught them anything else. Good chance they'll grow up and be selfish. There are consequences. There are many things that we've done, even here in America, that we're suffering the consequences of now. We're talking about, oh, things are so bad and people are doing this and people are doing that. Oh, well, you must have forgot some of the stuff that we have done. And we don't even have to go to we have done. We can just go down to you have done. That we're reaping the consequences of. We took prayer out of the school. Oh, and we were slick, and we were politically correct. But now, we're wondering why people don't respect one another.
don't respect God. How they gonna respect you? People don't care nothing about you. And many of you grew up in a time and an era where you could walk down the street and if people knew you as a Christian, there's certain things they would not say around you. They tell their dirty jokes out of your earshot. But Rob, they don't care now. They don't care. You deacon who? Hey, well, come over here and let me tell you this dirty joke. They don't care nothing. See some consequences. And the consequences is that antisocial behavior can't, but then that behavior can become pathological. And we're wondering what's happening. I never put that boy in check. I ain't believe in spanking. I ain't believe in harsh words. Oh, I don't want to make him cry. Let me tell you something. You don't make him cry, he'll make you cry. Because there's consequences. Bottom line. Oh, you're a nice Christian now. Oh, I'm getting real with you now. Y'all ready? Because it's almost time. I can even see out my bad eye there that it's time for me to go. You know, you're good Christians now, but you ain't always been that way. And some of the stuff that we're suffering from is because of the riotous living that we did before we got Christian. But there's consequences. You done snorted up all this cocaine and you think your body is not going to repudiate it? You done smoked all them cigarettes, that bad stuff, them long johns, short johns, stokies, you know, and think that you can have clarity, cognitive skills. Now you done drank up all the oil between here and Mississippi. And you think your liver is supposed to be in excellent shape now? Maybe it's me. I used to be young, but now I'm old. But whether young or old, I've known one thing. God is not to be trifled with. I don't care. God is not to be trifled with. You can't play those games and get away with it. Because he says right here, you heard about all the blessings, but let me tell you about the consequences of not seeking God. Verse 19, right quick. Then you know what, Fred? They thought God was fooling. God is not to be trifled with. He says, okay, go on and get shout. Talk about you. I'm less than highly favored. Yeah, I'm a head and not the tail. But God said, do you remember my if-then statements? Have you forgot my if-then statements? He says, if you turn and you follow these other gods and you worship these other gods, you know what he told them? He says, I'll pluck you out. This land flowing milk and honey that I promised you, I'll pluck you out of it. And I'll take this temple. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name. Now I want you to hear something. It says, I will put them out of my land. The earth is the Lord's, folk. You don't own nothing. You're just managers. And God says, I can get a manager anywhere. You don't own nothing. Don't think you own nothing. God owns everything. And he says, if you don't do what I've asked you to do, I'm going to take you out of the land and out of the house. Isn't that what they just prayed for? They prayed, Lord, give us the house and the land. And God says, yes, you can have the house and the land. But there are conditions. But there are conditions that are in the negative if you don't do what I say do. And so if you think you can come here and now you say, well, you know what, Brother Snead? That's exactly right. You're right. I see you now, Brother Snead. I'm glad you are dispensationalist. I'm glad that that only applies to Israel. You better pull up, Ike Turners. Because this is for you too. God ain't going to let you just, you know, keep on playing church. Keep on playing with his affections. He said, I'm going to put you out. You remember Cobb the other night talking about dealing with difficult people? How many of y'all in Bible study? The hands are pitiful. That's where you ought to always be. But since so few were there, I can just go on and say what Cobb said and they'll think I said it. No. Cobb says, you know, when you're dealing with difficult people, there's some people you come to a point, you just got to leave them alone. God don't keep fooling with you. And that's why Paul states over in the New Testament, turn them over to a reprobate mind. You try to reason with them, but turn them over. Because only God can deal with those folk. I mean, and some folk, they so bad. Some folk are, I mean, let me tell you, some folk are so bad, you shouldn't go nowhere near them. And you know why? Because God don't even want to be near them. I'm telling you. And when you get to the point that God don't want you near them, you're in bad shape. That means you rejected him totally. That means you done died and you done went to hell. That's right. Because that's all sin, blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is rejecting Jesus Christ. They have rejected him. They don't want God. And God is rooting them up and put them out. But for those of you Christians who want to still play, you know, want to not observe the statutes. And that, you know what? God is really, he's more modern than that. Our God, he would not ever send anybody to hell. No, God would never send anybody to hell. You'll send yourself there. That's our self-sending. And God would never call, oh, you know, I can't believe he's such a good man. Yeah, he's a good man now. But he's suffering from his past. God forgave him. God forgave her. But we're suffering from stuff that we did when we knew better and we still did it. But I know it's me. And this house, which is high, shall be us. See, here's the thing. The consequences are so great, Rob, that for the Jewish folk in the temple, you remember that beautiful temple that they built? I told y'all about how beautiful it was. Well, guess what? We know what happened to it, don't we? And God says, if you don't do what I've told you to do, there will come a time when people will walk by this very spot where my eyes are, where my ears have been listening, and they would say, what in the world happened to this temple? I just can't believe that such a gorgeous place is gone now. I can't believe such a holy and sanctified and righteous place is gone now. He says that they will just wonder in astonishment. But I love the word of God. Because there, in verse 22, he'll give you the answer. You don't have to wonder no more why some of us are going through what we're going through. God has made it very clear, just as he did to the people of Israel. First, to the people of Israel, here's what he said. And what? It shall be answered. Because you ain't got to be talking about, oh, this is just a devil. The devil just after that. This beautiful temple. I can't believe this beautiful building is gone. See, let me show you something. It's gone, folk. Right now, where the temple was, because it ain't there no more. They rebuilt it. Herod rebuilt it in 70 AD. You know, the Babylonians, you know, took it over, took them into exile, destroyed it. Then in the early first century, destroyed again. Herod rebuilt it, rather. The building is gone. But there's another building there. The building that was sanctified to the one triune God, the God of all heaven and earth, is no longer there, but there is a building. Anybody know what it is? It's the Mosque of Omar. Huh! Still a building, but not to God. Not sanctified to God. And if you're wondering why it's not there, it's because they forgot the God who brought them out of Egypt. They turned their faces to other gods. And God permits on the very spot that he said it is good for something to be built that honors some other God. So just because you think you're doing church and you're doing it right, and you know you're not doing it right, God will take your ministry, bring it down, and have something else there. There are juke joints that are now churches. There are churches that are now juke joints. Y'all don't know what that is. Y'all too old. Y'all too young for that. So the building ain't what it's about. But do you know what? Despite what we do, when God blesses you with his presence in your temple, he will honor that temple throughout eternity. There never will be a time when the devil can stand and say, I wonder what happened to old Phyllis over there. Thought she was occupied by the Holy Spirit. The answer will never be because she turned away. It'll be, oh, you don't see her. Because the temple that she has was not built with the hands of men, but built by God himself. And in eternity, God will be there, represented in the temple by all the temples that are there. Because he's a God that keeps his promises. He promised one thing. He says, I promise you, if you do this, I'll bless you this way. I bless the temple, I bless the people, I bless you, Solomon. I bless the people. I bless all of those who are called by my name. He says, but if you don't do this, there will be some severe consequences. And one of them is the things that you like, those treasures that you have. See, the temple represents those treasures in life that we have. But see, Matthew, Brother Matthew picks it up and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things will be added. Because if you seek the kingdom, you're seeking something that is eternal. That God will always be blessing the kingdom. The eternal things, you're just managers of that. You're just managers of that little job you got now. You know, that big old house you got, that big ride you got, you know, a little cool spider, you know. You're just managers. Because like Brown always says at funerals, never seen a U-Haul hitched up behind a hearse. came here with nothing, you're going out with nothing, because those are temporal things. So why wouldn't we store up our treasure for things that are everlasting? Why don't we reap the benefit rather than the hard consequences of not obeying God? Why don't we reap the blessings of knowing a loving, caring God, doing what his statutes, commandments, and judgments say, as opposed to trying to live on our own, do our own thing, have our own gods, and then wind up in total spiritual penury? God bless you. It's our prayer.